Norv Turner, offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, coming up later on this radio show. Paul Charchi and LeagueSafe.com. Yours truly, Paul Allen here, now joined by Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. Good morning, Mr. Spielman. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on today.
Welcome to the Combine, Mr. Spielman. What are you looking to accomplish, sir?
Well, just what we do every Combine. Come down here and get all the information we need to get on these players, get all our interviews done, our medical done on them. Also trying to do our own business as far as with our potential UFAs and meeting with all their agents as well.
Is this you being general manager guy, Mike Mayock with NFL Network, pretty well-respected opinion in the game. He brags about how deep this draft is all over the place. You know, so, I mean, you'll come into certain years having your intel mostly done by now, I would assume, looking at certain positions, saying deep here, deep there. Mayock and others say it's deep all over the place, so this is a great draft to have a million picks, right?
This is one where it's very unique just because I think the amount of juniors that came out this year was a record number, and mm-hmm. It really, really put a lot of depth at all the positions. And, you know, like for a receiver, for example, this is the deepest class I think I can ever remember of the receivers coming out.
Wow.
So what I think is going to happen is – when you get into those third, those fourth rounds, there's going to be so much depth. You still have potential to get a lot of very good players and potential starters even going into the third day because of the depth of this draft.
Sweet.
You mentioned the wide receiver position, Rick. Probably not a position to need at this
point.
Cordarrelle worked out great, and Greg Jennings, while we didn't have big numbers from him, we still think he's a high-quality receiver. What are some of the positions that you feel like the team needs to focus on? There seem to be some obvious ones. I don't want to put words in your mouth. And obviously I would never ask you where you're going to take different positions, and you don't even know that yet. But it seems like there are some obvious positions of need.
We'll get back together with our coaching staff and all our scouts after the combine. We're actually going to our UFA meetings then, and mm-hmm. we'll have a better idea once I get through and I'm sitting with George Payton and Rob Brzezinski, and we're meeting with all our agents that are current UFL players. So we're going to have a pretty good sense of who we're going to be able to sign back, who we're not going to be able to sign back, and then you can really identify the needs that you're going to have to attack, either in free agency or in the draft.
It was at this time last year that you told us Brian McKinney was your top priority, off-season priority. Do you have a top off-season priority this year?
We're always – I don't know if you can ever just say there's one position you need. We're always going to be out there looking for all positions. I know defensively we got a little older. We're going to be looking at a lot of things on the defensive side of the ball. You know, offensively, feel very good about a lot of the places we're at. I know the quarterback question is going to come up, so I'm just waiting for you guys to ask that.
Yeah, but, it's going to come up. I'm sure you've got a practice non-answer for us.
Last year was the Percy Harvin question. This year it's going to be the quarterback
question. Your anticipatory skills this year are unbelievable, Mr. Spielman.
Top of your game, really.
Three steps
I'm all over
us.
It.
Yes, well,
absolutely.
I mean, since you do bring it up, you know, you obviously have a high level of respect for my YouTube video scouting that I do. You know, when I look at players on YouTube from the television angle, and I'd never meet them at the Senior Bowl or the Combine. And I've been doing a lot of that with Central Florida's Blake Bortles. Looking at him, I quite honestly had not heard of him until within the last year. What do you think of Mr. Blake Bortles at this stage of the equation?
You're kidding me. You're asking me that question, right? Like, I'm going to give you our scouting report on Blake Bortles.
I don't want
Bortles.
A scouting report. I just kind of want to know what you think of his body.
I can just
type
tell you
there's
a lot of depth at this in this draft class at the quarterback position. I mm-hmm. think it's going to be throughout the draft.
Yeah.
The one thing is that, you know, we're not going to force our hand into taking a quarterback. If we're not comfortable with that player at number eight, we're going to take the best player on the board. And we've always had success when we've stuck to that philosophy and not force an issue. But I know we have to address a lot of needs just besides the quarterback. But the quarterback will be the big question. But
right.
I know we don't line up for a game yet, and we got plenty of time to work through that. I think the addition of having a Norv Turner on our mm-hmm. on our coaching staff will be a huge asset for us, and he has a tremendous history of doing a lot of good things with quarterbacks.
He does, and I do want to talk about him. I just want to touch first on some talking quarterbacks about some of the Viking quarterbacks.
Yep.
Is Matt Cassel a Viking right now? Or
no, he opted out of his deal. He voided his contract, so technically he'll become a UFA here when that gun goes off.
Okay. But is he still a Viking in our hearts?
Well, no, I just want to make sure we can talk about him because, you know, typically, you know, there are guys you can and can't talk about.
I can talk about our guys, yes.
Okay, good.
Because they're technically still our guys.
All right, so how do you evaluate the season and the usage that Matt Cassel had as somebody that may or may not come back?
Matt is a guy that we definitely will have interest in. We'll speak with his agent. In fact, I have a meeting with his agent this afternoon.
Okay.
So we'll kind of see where that's at. But we're also going to look at potential options that are out there that may hit the UFA market. You know, we're going to be very busy this spring going out, looking at things on potential draft picks as well. And we'll just see where it all ends up.
Does all of that start here, you know, with potential starting quarterbacks from last year or starting players from last year with other teams? Where
no, we're not allowed to talk to other UFAs that are not on our team.
No, so. But I'm saying, do you hear stuff? Do you start, like, kind of getting a feel that, hey, quarterback player du jour may be cut? Now all of a sudden we may be interested in player du jour.
I just get my information off Paul Allen tweets.
And, yeah. Thank you. Good. Like my Blake Bortles YouTube scouting, right?
Yeah, so I just kind of wait and monitor the tweets and see what comes up.
Did you see that Bortles comeback against Louisville?
I was at that game.
You were at that game?
I was at that game.
So you got to
person.
See Bortles and Bridgewater and that nice defensive end for Louisville and that nice safety for Louisville all in the same game?
Yes.
Good Lord. There was some talent in that game, Mr. Spielman.
Well, you try to strategically put yourself in places where there are potential talented players when you go out to these college games.
Beard and like a hat, and you like sit in the stands and try to hide yourself.
Yeah. No, I just sit up in the press box and just observe and see what you see.
Pretty interesting finish to that game. I mean, I know one game does not anybody's career make, but again, in looking at the UCF quarterback and Teddy Bridgewater and stuff like that, it was just interesting to watch the composure displayed by the
both Central of those.
Yeah, but
because Bridgewater played very well that game that night.
Three drafts ago on draft day at Winter Park at the big draft party, you selected Christian Ponder,
yes.
12th overall, sat down with us, and you and I said, this is going to be a very much a defining pick for Rick Spielman. And you said, yes, this is a pick that I feel very good about, and I'm okay being evaluated on this pick.
Correct.
Now, given what's happened with Christian, the in and out of the lineup, and and while it looks like he still has a future with this team, but not in the same way that it was, I think, when it was drafted. How do you feel about that?
I don't know if that position has been solidified. And, you know, I don't think there has been any questions about Christian's physical ability. And, you know, as we sit there and meet, and I sit there and listen to outside, you know, have a lot of outside sources that I'll speak with that do the evaluation. You have new coaches coming in that will do the evaluation.
Yeah.
There are games that you see him play and you say, wow, this guy has a chance to be but it's never been able to sustain or be in a consistent level game in and game out. So why is that? It's not where maybe you've seen a quarterback for 3 years and you haven't seen him play well. There are games where he has actually played well.
Sure.
So is it the late development of a guy, or is he just going to be a backup type guy? So you just have to sit there and monitor and go through that. Now, you know, we're in that three-year window where – I know we're going to have to look and address that quarterback situation. Do you bring Matt Castle back? You have to have a veteran. Has Christian got potential to be a star? Is he always going to be a backup in this league? Do you bring another young one in that maybe he doesn't have to play or you don't have to force in early that you can spend time and develop for a year or two? So those are all the questions and things that we'll go through as we go through this process.
As we hear from people from time to time, fans, listeners to the station who look back with frustration over the Christian Ponder selection, what I have said, and I wonder if you think this is fair, that Rick wasn't necessarily wrong to pick Christian, but that my concern is more that there was never as much of a backup plan. We weren't investing other picks into the position, and we didn't necessarily have a plan B in case it didn't work out as well as we would have liked with Christian. Do you think that's a fair statement?
You know, back then, I think, you know, we had Donovan McNabb signed, and it was Christian not going to play, let him sit, develop, and learn.
Yep.
And then, you know, then Christian got forced into action, did some really positive things, but made some rookie mistakes. Then we saw him in his second year. The first four or five games, you know, was a pretty conservative game plan, but he was completing 70% of his throws. We were winning games.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he went into that dip. And then the last four games, he came out of that dip and really played well and actually got us into the playoffs the way he played against that Green Bay. So you're saying, boy, if he can project and go forward from where how he ended, and he didn't do that last year for whatever reasons. And so now we're looking at that position and reevaluating that position again. There's some things, you know, that I won't speak about, but Christian has shown signs at times. But that position is going to be the most scrutinized position out of any. It doesn't matter, you know, which other positions those guys play well, or it's always going to be the quarterback. And every team is always trying to find that franchise quarterback, and there's very few quarterbacks that are franchise type guys. So you have to be aggressive and keep turning over that quarterback position, or going out there and doing whatever you can to try to hit on that position.
And I guess I think that's my point, is I feel like there wasn't necessarily enough – there wasn't enough done to have a viable young quarterback that you're maybe grooming simultaneously in the event Christian didn't necessarily work out. You're just saying you always need to kind of be having this churn and always be looking.
Right.
And it felt a little bit like there was almost an effort to not challenge Christian.
I disagree with that. Okay. I think that second year, you know, we didn't have a veteran. You know, we had Joe Webb as our backup.
Yeah.
And Joe had done some flashes as a quarterback. But we really felt strongly about going out and getting that UFA back, because we had Sage Rosenfels in the one year that was a good, viable backup quarterback. But that veteran quarterback, to have that presence for that young guy to lean on, we didn't have that. And then that's, you know, why we went out and signed a Matt Cassel last year. Matt Cassel, you know, when he came in, he did some good things as well. But you can all put all the blame potentially on that quarterback. You know, that's what the position's about, and that's what I'm going to get. I know that. I mean, the quarterback is what the GM is always trying to get fixed, and you got to eventually hit on one. I understand that. That's part of what this job is. But I also know, you know, how we lost games last year too, and losing five games in less than 59 seconds. What if somehow, you know, it's not just the court. What if our defense had made a couple of stops in those scenarios and we won those games?
Yeah.
Do people have a different opinion on a Christian Ponder or a Matt Cassel? So there's a lot of things that you got to tie into it just besides. And I understand it, what that quarterback position is and what you have to do. And we're trying to get that position right. But there's also a lot of other things that tie into our record as well last year.
Just to keep the quarterback theme going for a second, the rookie quarterbacks who got hurt last year, Aaron Murray, Georgia, Zach Mettenberger, LSU, how do you analyze that? I mean, I know you can look back at Murray and what he did pre-injury and where maybe you thought he would have gone, but now coming off those ACLs and everything, as a personnel department, how do you handle that?
We'll see what our doctors say. They'll get physical down here, how far they're along. It's amazing now that you're seeing guys with ACLs that come back maybe in 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And both of these guys I know have stated publicly that they're going to work out on their pro days. So, you know, until we get the medical on them, and it's not, I think in the past you're saying, well, this guy's going to be 9 months to a year before he can come back from that. Now they're coming back a lot sooner, whether the technology's getting better on the, you know, on the surgeries, and these guys are doing things from, you know, a science standpoint on how they're repairing the ACLs. I'm not a doctor, but seems like guys are coming back quicker. But to your point, they played their senior. I think the LSU kid didn't tear it till the last game of the season, so you have a full season on him. So you're going to get your evaluation on these guys, and it's just a matter of listening to your medical people. Hey, you're going to have to can this guy or redshirt him for a year, or he'd be ready to go by training camp.
And you know, you've been doing this long enough that you've seen the ACL, the ACL injury in particular, really change from something that where – you know, you could expect to lose a guy for a year or a lot of time. And now, for all injuries, and especially that one, the timeline's become so, has changed so much. Does it really even, does it change your grading and thoughts about drafting a player as much as it used to?
And it doesn't change drafting, and in two reasons. One is I think our medical staff is outstanding. And, you know, we've had a history of success from Heath Farwell to Chad Greenway to
Peterson.
Adrian Peterson on guys coming back and performing well after that ACL surgery. And then you look at Mike Motti last year, who we drafted in the seventh round, who tore his ACL, and that was the second or third time he's done that. And he had a great year for us on special teams. I'm very excited about his potential and when he's coming back. And so he was able to get ready by training camp. We had him out there, I think, the second or third day of training camp, and never missed a beat going forward.
And also, you're hoping these guys are going to be contributing for you for 3 and 4 years, right?
Correct.
And, you know, if it means that they're going to, they might not be ready for week one of the opener of their rookie year, maybe it just doesn't matter that much when you don't worry so much that an ACL means your career is going to be over. You're never going to be the same guy.
And maybe those two quarterbacks that you just talked about, they don't have to get pressured into playing their rookie year.
Right. Yeah.
You can go ahead and let them learn, let them get familiar with the system, not force them into action. But they're out there practicing, they're out there developing. So those are things that you'll look at as well.
What portion of the combine matters most to you year after year?
I think the biggest part for us is not only the medical, the interview process. And very excited to get in front of these kids. A lot of the kids that will be in our room are juniors that we haven't gotten in front of yet. We interviewed every single guy down at the Senior Bowl, got a pretty good beat on what those guys are. There'll be a couple guys coming back through. But potentially the guys that we haven't interviewed that weren't at the Senior Bowl or at the East West, we'll get in front of, and for sure a lot of these juniors. And we were in draft meetings the last 8 days, and the one thing that I have our scouts do is if I didn't get in front of them, not only do we read about what their ability is, what they saw in the fall, but also how they performed in the All-Star game. Give me a grade on what you thought of him as an interviewer. When you interviewed him, give me a grade on what you thought his learning capabilities were. So that's all part of the process as we go through this evaluation.
What's it like going through the free agency process, not only with your guys, the Toby Gerhards, Jared Allens, Chris Cook, so on, but the free agents for other teams and the draft process now with Mike Zimmer?
It's going to be – our process is going to be the same, but it'll be different in what we're looking for. And the specific skill sets he's looking for in a corner. And just being on the same page of this is what this guy is, then Zim has an excellent reputation of taking guys, utilizing that strength within his system. And we always get into that thing fitting a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
Zim seems to have flexibility. Well, if this guy does this, then we can utilize it this way. There's a lot more flexibility in the type of players that maybe we didn't look at in the past that we'll be able to look at now. A lot of times you're seeing these guys come out of the draft and they're these 34 outside linebackers because everybody's rushing a passer in college because of the way it's spread out. They're athletic guys, but are they big enough to put their hand in the dirt and play three downs lining up over an offensive tackle? Or are they athletic enough to stand up in a stack position behind the defensive line, play the run, but on nickel third down stuff, can you put their hand in the dirt and have them as nickel pass rushers? So those are all things that are a little bit more open for us now that they may have not been in the past. And it's just that's the type of athletes that you're seeing, especially on the defensive side in college right now.
Before last segment, we were talking a lot about quarterbacks, and you were saying, well, there's also the area of our defense. This was statistically one of the worst Viking defenses in history. I want to throw out a couple of names. I know you can talk about your own guys, and just give me some of your thoughts. I want to start with Xavier Rhodes and the development that he had over the course of his rookie year.
Xavier kind of, again, you look at the rookies just in general, all the corners that come out as rookies and how they initially struggle. I don't think there's one corner that was a rookie that didn't have that initial wake-up call because they're seeing things a lot differently than they see from these spread-out offensive route combinations. That skill set when you're covering Brandon Marshall and the guys that they have to cover in our division.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, once they get comfortable from that mental standpoint, from a schematic standpoint, they don't have to think, and they can just go out and play. And I thought maybe right around that Dallas game and going forward till he got hurt, he really started to click and very excited about his development and where he's at right now.
Did he click in part because it seemed to me, as somebody that doesn't get to necessarily break down the tape like you do, it seemed like more and more as the season went on, he was given more of a man-on-man role where he was just asked,
it's utilizing people's skill sets.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what it seemed like to me. So you do believe that happened and that
I think it's that, and I think the game slows down for those guys.
Yeah.
Because things happen at a different speed than they do at the collegiate level. And then once that game starts to slow down and they get accustomed, not because physically they can't handle the speed of the game, but mentally they learn to handle the speed of the game. And once that slows down for them, then you start to see a click and, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be a pretty good player.
You think you're going to lose Toby Gerhardt via free agency?
We'll talk to Toby's guy and see. The biggest thing with Toby is when Adrian came down, he came in and he's a very good back. I mean, he did a lot of good things for us. We didn't. It's a different style than Adrian. But I, you know, the thing that you got to ask is, and we'll ask his agent, is he want to go out to be the number one back now? Is it, you know, he's shown, I think, enough things on tape that people will see him as a number one type back. So, you know, we're going to keep our options open on all our players, but also expect that, you know, Toby's such a competitive player and a good football player. Does he stay in that particular role behind Adrian Peterson, or does someone pay him as a number one back and he goes out and goes to a different direction? But we'd love to have Toby back.
With Mike Zimmer as the new head coach, completely identifiable with high-level defense with Cincinnati. I mean, if you look at the fact that they had like 10 guys with at least one interception last year, led the NFL in sacks for like three, four consecutive years, high-level defensive mind, now a head coach. Not going to shortchange his offensive capabilities. I don't know anything about that, but I would assume that he's completely secure with defense. So that meant the hiring of Norv Turner. That was key, right?
I mean, to
get a guy like Norv Turner where you can just say, this is it, do it, here's your staff, and then Mike can not only focus on defense but managing the team.
He can manage the team. He'll have his fingers on the offensive side. But to get a guy like Norv Turner, not only who I think is one of the best offensive play callers in the game right now and a developer of quarterbacks, but also he has head coaching experience. So for Zim to lean on a guy like that, you know, who's going to be a first-time head coach, to have a Norv Turner to lean on, hey, any thoughts here or there, I think that's a huge, huge get for us.
And I think a really good, sneaky, good, underplayed hire within the fans and the media is your secondary coach. I mean, with all due respect to Joe Woods, who came with Tomlin and did a good job, he's now in Oakland. Jerry Gray's been a defensive coordinator two consecutive years for Tennessee, and he's been through head coaching meetings. He's been on the cusp of elevating himself to a head coach. He's our secondary coach.
Yeah, and we're I tell you, this may be, and it'll play out hopefully, but I think one of the best football staffs I've ever been around. And I thought Zim did a great job getting and putting this staff together.
Yeah.
But at Jerry Gray, you look at his history on corners and look at how many late-round corners were at Tennessee that end up going out and getting paid that, oh, they were fifth, sixth, seventh rounders, yet they come out turning into – there's a reason for that because those guys do – and he played in the league.
He
was a
Pro
Bowler.
I had his football cards as a kid.
Yeah. But he has a really track record or a history of taking some of those lower-level corners and turning them into pretty good football players.
And one of them is the guy that I've been campaigning for on the air for this team to go get in free agency, Alteron Verner. You know, there's Revis Island, the Verner void. We want the
and the whole secondary is the gray area.
The gray area is our secondary.
I mean, we're all set. Now you just have to close
Verner.
On it.
I know you can't talk about him because he's not a free agent
yet. Do we have enough money? I think we do.
We have enough money. Alteron
Verner. I'll tell you this just on
free
agency.
Do we have a lot of money for free agency?
The game plan for free agency is our ownership has never said no. But I also know, do you take your one lump sum and go get one player, or is it more beneficiary to wait till that market clears and sign four or five guys that you can get at a relatively fair market value? Are you a better team with four or five UFAs plus the draft, or just one UFA?
Well, unfortunately, this is a defense with a lot of holes. So I it sounds like, you know, what you're saying, and it makes sense, is, you know, with a team that defensively has got a lot of positional needs right now, you may not be able to get the hallmark free agents, the big name guys.
And I just look at the history of people who went out and spend, you know, big money and not, you know, and I'm sure that I don't think it always equates to wins.
Well, no, absolutely. It's super risky, right?
I mean,
you know.
But if you're able to go out, you know, like when we did the Jerome Felton, and then he ended up in the Pro Bowl, find some guys like that to come in and fill some needs on your team and get four or five, a handful of those guys, along with bringing in the rookies, you have a lot better depth on your team than you would if you just go out and spend one or two.
The other side of it is a guy like Jonathan Joseph, big-name free agent, goes to Houston, turns around what was an awful pass defense. So, you know, sometimes you
but it's
you
also,
can hit that as well.
Well, it helps that J.J. Watt can rush the passer.
Well, that is true, too.
So it's not defensively. I mean, it's you have to have, but is Xavier Rhodes going to keep going on to be one of those number one shutdown type corners? And, again, it's four or five guys better than just having one.
Yeah.
You have a couple of trends. I'm not going to call them tells. I'll call them trends. you seem to let others set the market with their players. For instance, like with Pierre Garçon a couple of years ago from the Redskins. Say you guys were interested in him. Boom, Washington immediately comes in with 20-some-odd million and change. You guys move on to do something else. So you're comfortable letting others overpay early, set the market. If Greg Jennings is expecting money du jour, it comes down, then he gets this. You get him in. Hopefully he's productive. And in the draft, you're clearly very comfortable and secure trading into the back end of the first round. Harrison Smith with Baltimore worked. Cordarrelle Patterson with Belichick worked. Those are a couple of things on which you pride yourself, correct?
Well, it's not just me. It's everybody. We have a great staff. I mean, Scott Studwell, George Payton, this new coaching staff, and listen to them talk football, and we're sitting there going through the personnel. It's very exciting, and it's rough because you're coming off a rough year, but you win three of those games that you technically
gave up in the last minute.
That we gave up in the last minute, you're potentially in the playoffs again with the way the division unfolded this year. So there are a lot of young pieces in place. Now, if we're smart to go out and get a couple guys in free agency, have another solid draft, and get the quarterback thing, I know that has to get solidified and direction we're going there, that I'm very excited about coming up next year.
Last couple for the general manager, you first.
One other free agent that we talked a lot about, Xavier Rhodes, and we like what he's done. Chris Cook, no interceptions to date, no fumble recoveries, and I think no tackles for loss.
No, two tackles for loss, no forced fumbles.
Thank you. Right. So hasn't been somebody that's been productive in terms of big plays. Do you see him as somebody that is going to be, and he's a free agent, going to be a free agent here in a handful of weeks. Do you see him as somebody that has a future with this team?
We'll decide that next week when we get into it. Probably hasn't been as productive as we anticipated. He's more of a big press-type corner.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing with him has been the injury bug and the durability thing. He's just never been able to stay healthy for a year, a full year. So that's kind of potentially delayed his development. But he probably hasn't been as productive as we were anticipating when we did draft him in the second round.
What do you like about rookie linebacker Khalil Mack from Buffalo?
Is he in the draft this year?
Yeah, I think he's going to be in the draft, yeah.
There are a lot of good defensive players in the draft this year.
So yeah, you're not ready to share any positives on any of these players?
No.
Okay. Will there be a time you will be closer to the draft, maybe?
Yeah.
After the draft.
After the draft. I'll be happy to talk to you about who we drafted at the podium.
Excellent. We look forward to that, and best of luck at the Combine, okay?
All right, guys.
Thanks, Rick.
And great luck at free agency, too.
Thank you.
Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, nice enough to join us here in Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine, provided by Whiting Clinic, LASIK, and Eye Care. Paul Charchi and Paul Allen back on the Fan from Indianapolis after this.
You're listening to